This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Friday حلقة at Abu Huraira Center, and we continue with our thematic commentary on the Quran. Alhamdulillah, last time I believe we finished with Surah Yunus, and it's time to move to Surah number 11 in the Quran, and this is Surah Hud. Again, Surah Hud is named after a prophet, Prophet Hud alayhi salam, and apparently it's Surah Makkiyah, and the Surah is full of stories, but the stories are sandwiched between a beautiful introduction and a resonating conclusion. It's a very beautiful, it's a very beautiful surah, by the way. Very beautiful to read. It's very smooth. Generally speaking, the surah is very smooth. And you can actually detect a very subtle yet very profound theme in the surah, and that's basically to remind the Prophet ﷺ to remain patient, not to lose his cool in the face of his people as they were rejecting him. And apparently there's a reference to that rejection and that this kind of negative response from the people of Quraysh to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's some kind of argument against them, but eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with stories of prophets. So we had Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, starting with the story of Prophet Nuh, quite at length. And there are details that are mentioned about about the story of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam that were not mentioned in other surahs. Inshallah, we will come to them today. So Surah Hud start with Alif Lam Ra, similar to Surah Yunus. And there are five surahs in the Quran that start with Alif Lam Ra. Alif Lam Ra. We have first Surah Yunus, Surah Hud, both of them are named after a prophet. Then Surah Yusuf, after them. Alif Lam Ra as well. These are consecutive surahs, Alif Lam Ra. And we also then have Surah Ibrahim. So four of these are actually named after prophets. Alif, and they start with Alif Lam Ra. And the fifth surah is Surah Al-Hijr. Al-Hijr. It's not named after a prophet, but it's named after the people of Al-Hijr. The surah starts with a verse, and it gives us some kind of a feel of what the surah is talking about. Because again, it starts with Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu thumma fussilat min ladun hakim al-khabir, a book whose verses, whose signs were perfected, and then clarified and broken down from the all-wise, the all-knowing, to the effect Allah ta'budu illallah, worship only Allah. This is what these signs are about. This is the message. So there is a reference to the Quran being perfected, being very solid and powerful, yet despite this power, it is accessible because it was made easy. As Allah says in Surah Al-Qamar, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرٍ, and we made the Quran easy for those who want to remember and benefit. Where are those who want to benefit? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be patient and to be again, not to let the rejection of his people, impact him negatively. So Allah says in verse number 12, فَلَعَلَّكَ تَارِكُمْ بَعْضَ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَضَائِقٌ بِهِ صَدْرُكَ أَيْ يَقُولُ لَوْلَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْهِ كَنْزٌ أَوْ جَاءَ مَعَهُ مَلَكٌ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ نَذِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٌ. So Allah says, perhaps Muhammad, you have this kind of inner conversation sometimes, or a thought crosses your mind to, leave some of what has been given to you, what was revealed to you. And obviously not leave it as to not practice it or not preach it, but you might say, you're thinking, okay, maybe it's not the time now to address them with this. Let me start with something else and then I will come to this, right? Because of the kind of pressure the Prophet ﷺ was put under, the extreme circumstances in Mecca, the opposition, the Prophet ﷺ as well, sometimes he was so cornered that he would sometimes weigh up whether, should I talk about this or not, in that sense. So Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, don't do that. And if you feel your chest is being constricted, that's a sign of stress, being under so much stress from these people. Just because they say, you know, why was not there a treasure sent down upon him as a sign of his prophethood, right? Or an angel sent to support him. Allah then reassures the Prophet ﷺ saying, you are indeed just a warner. You're a prophet and a messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dispenser of all affairs. He's in charge of everything. Okay, so this actually opens the rest of the surah, because Allah is going to talk about other prophets and how they were treated by their people. And that, oh Muhammad, what you're going through is actually exactly what previous prophets went through. And we're going to see there's a lot of similarity in the challenges that the Prophet ﷺ went through, and before that, the other prophets and messengers went through. But before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still ensures some proofs on the truthfulness of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's try to go over them. So we start with the introduction, with the beginning, as we mentioned. So what is the message of the Quran? Worship Allah alone. That's it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just a warner and a bringer of good news. وَأَنِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى وَيُؤْتِي كُلَّ ذِي فَضْلٍ فَضْلَهِ. And seek forgiveness of your Lord. Return to him in repentance. He would give you an enjoyable life here in this world, meaning you will enjoy what are his blessings here in this world. And then up until a certain point in time, which is your death when you leave this life, and Allah would pay back everyone. Allah would recompense everyone for the good that they have done. وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْ فَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ كَبِيرٍ. But if you turn away from that, then what I fear for you, and this shows that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ had so much compassion for his people. He was concerned for them. And this is how every da'iyah should be. Everyone who calls to Allah should come from that position. Is that your concern is the guidance of people. You want good for the people. It's not that You act from a high, like sort of from a high pedestal, and if people reject, you start looking down upon them. No, you are actually so concerned with their guidance. You want just good for them. You're consumed with that. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to them that I actually am concerned for you. I fear for you a punishment of a huge day. That's the day of judgment. إِلَى اللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. To Allah you shall return. And subhanAllah, this verse and other similar verses in the Quran, like when Allah says, إِنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الرُّجْعَ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. Then you will return to your Lord, to Allah, to your Lord is your return. For the believer, this is a beautiful statement. It's a very reassuring statement. It's full of hope. So, and the believer is happy that the return is to Allah, it's not to anyone else, and not to any other like any other place. It's the return is to Allah. Whereas for the disbeliever, this is a threat, and this is a serious thing. Then Allah says that they turn away from the revelation and they seek different means to not to listen to it, etc. And this reminds, there is some kind of reference as to how they turn away from the guidance of the Prophet, a reference to the people of Nuh alayhi salam, because in Surah Nuh, the surah towards the end of the Quran, in the last three juz, Surah Nuh, Allah describes how the people of Nuh, how they turn away from Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. They would cover their heads with their own garments. And something similar was done by the people of Mecca. Then Allah draws their attention to the fact that He is the Lord of the worlds, that He provides, that again, he put the world together for you, There's a sign in that, and you should read it. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. And there is no living creature on earth except that its provision is upon Allah. Allah provides for it. He knows its place of birth and its place of demise, when it's going to die. Allah knows everything. Allah knows its life in, out, from the beginning till the end, and whatever is between. Everything is written in a book. And Allah makes a reference to Him creating the heavens, the earth, and there's a reference to His throne there. And that the purpose behind creation, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The reason Allah created this whole universe, the reason Allah created you, is to test who is best of you in action. So this life is a test. It was created as a test. So we should not expect from it anything other than a test. And tests are not easy, just by nature. So this is what this life is about. So anyone who wants anything else from life, they will suffer, and it will be painful for them. So we should align ourselves, or align our mindset, with this purpose of the creation, that Allah created the heavens and the earth. Allah created us in order to test us. Everything in existence serves this purpose. And everything that happens in one's life actually serves this purpose. And then Allah says, and if you were to tell them, قلت إنكم مبعوثون من بعد الموت لا يقولن الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين. And if you tell them that you will be resurrected, you will be brought back to life after your death, they would say, you know, this is nonsense. This is some kind of superstition. Again, so there is some kind of demonstration of the ingratitude of humans, and with the exception of those who have patience. And verse number 11 is important here, because Allah says about humans that if Allah gives them blessings, then takes these blessings away, humans fall in despair. Like, again, as if we take these blessings for granted, we don't realize that they're already a gift and Allah can take them away. And it's His right to do so. But again, we claim ownership over these things. We think, oh, I'm entitled to this. I deserve this. I must have this. I must have this kind of life, right? But then if we bless humans after they've been through deprivation, then automatically they become arrogant. They start thinking good about themselves. They think, Allah must be pleased with me. Allah must be happy with me. I must be very special in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they become arrogant. Then Allah says, except إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who are patient. Except for those who are patient and they've done good deeds. Usually in the Quran, Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except for those who have believed and they've done righteous deeds. But here Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And this is a clear indication on the importance and the station of sabr, patience, and how important it is. Probably the most fundamental tool that a believer needs after faith. We need patience. We need patience in order to resist our temptation and the attraction that life has. So we do the right things and we don't indulge in evil and temptations. We need patience to keep doing the right things when we don't feel like doing them, when there is a resistance, we need the patience in order to get ourselves to do them. And we need patience as well to be able to handle life's events, ups and downs. Again, all of these ups and downs are actually designed to test us. But again, we have our own plans. So if our plans are based, or if our understanding of life, our approach in life is based on, is aligned with this test paradigm, then we'll understand why there are ups and downs. But we all get carried away with our own ambitions and desires and greed, and then when we don't get what we want, we start to fall in despair. We become impatient. So we need patience to put up with life. Life is not going to come is not going to manifest according to our desires and expectations. Sometimes it will, many times it won't. Again, because it's not designed just to act according to our desires. It's designed to test us. And that's what it does. So when we expect from life to unfold according to our desires, it's not a wise thing, and it's not going to happen. So we need patience. We need patience in order to be able the unpleasant events of life. So Allah says, except for, and this is the only place in the Quran that's actually mentioned like this, this kind of structure. الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who have developed patience or have had patience and they do righteous deeds. For those people, there will be forgiveness and immense reward from Allah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe it's just under the pressure you're going through. You are trying to probably prioritize or maybe, you know, keep some things till later, etc. Because of the amount of pressure they bring about you if you were to engage in them and preach them. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to clarify through the stories that will come in the surah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the only way it's going to go. Because there are people who inside of them, they don't love the truth. They don't want the truth. So they're going to oppose it no matter what. Okay, so I'm not going to... So there are some arguments against those disbelievers. I'm not going to bring them up because a lot of them are things we actually referred to them previously. But again, the Quran has some repetition. And it's not complete repetition. It's a repetition in context, and the context gives it its freshness. But again, since we're just going over the surah, we don't need to go into all of the details. So then the story of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam starts at verse number 25. And Allah summarizes his mission is to worship Allah, just like the beginning of the surah. The message of this book of the Quran is Allah ta'budu illallah, that don't worship any other than Allah. The same exact statement is mentioned by Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, Allah ta'budu illallah, in verse number 26, which talks about his mission. Inni akhafu alaykum adhab yawmin aleem. I fear for you the punishment of a painful day. The same thing. Exactly just like the surah started. So this shows the parallels between the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the message of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and obviously all the prophets and messengers. There's similarity. And again, what was the response of his people? فَقَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ مَا نَرَاكَ إِلَّا بَشَرًا مِثْلَنَا وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِيلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأْيِ وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ بَلْ نَظُنُّكُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. So those, the elite, the rich people, people of power among his people, they say, we only see you as a human being, just like us. You're just one of us. So what makes you special? Why are you a prophet and a messenger? Again, so they have the wrong criteria as to what a messenger should be. And something else, and that's going to become apparent, so I'll mention it later, and that's basically that the way they assess people is by their social, financial, economic status. Something similar to our times, and all times actually. But that's the wrong criteria, because this is not a criteria as to who's good and who's not. Okay, وَمَا نَرَاكَ اتَّبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُونَ. We see the ones who have followed you are the low people in society. They don't have this socio-economic status, right? So these are your followers. So this is not a good sign, right? You're not worthy of being followed. It doesn't seem your message has any merit, since these are your followers. These are the people who are attracted to you. Again, wrong parameters. We don't see any merit for you over us. We actually think you're liars. So it's a thought process, conclusion. Again, Nuh alayhi salam defends his mission, explains to them, and he tells them that I just fear for you. I'm concerned about you. And I don't tell you, like he says, I don't possess anything except what Allah gives me. And for those that, you know, that you describe as the low segments of society that who have followed me, Allah has the right assessment of people. It's not me to tell people, hey, you're poor, you're not supposed to be following me. You're not from a high, you know, caste in society. We don't have caste in many places in the world, but it's more subtle. But you're not from a high segment of society. You're not from the elite, right? So you don't follow me. That's not how prophets and messengers deal with people, because they judge people based on their willingness to accept the truth and their devotion, their apparent devotion. And that's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ had. Who were his followers? And we have a famous narration from about Abu Sufyan when he met the emperor of the Byzantines. And he asked him about this man who claims to be prophet. Who are his followers? So Abu Sufyan said, Al-Du'afa. They are the weak people, the low segments of society, members of society. So the emperor responded to him and he said, well, how ulaika waratha ulaika atba'ul anbiya. Those are the followers of prophets from every nation throughout history were these type of people. The ones who are oppressed, the ones who were taken advantage of, the impoverished ones. So similar thing, right? And then eventually it got to the point that Allah subhanahu, and imagine Nuh alayhi salam stayed with his people for how long? 950 people. That's his da'wah time. So many scholars say this is not his lifetime. His lifetime was more than that. But this is his mission. 950 years. Then Allah says to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, verse number 36, وَأُوحِيَ إِلَى نُوحٍ أَنَّهُ لَنْ يُؤْمِنَ مِنْ قَوْمِكَ إِلَّا مَنْ قَدْ آمَنَ فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And it was revealed to Nuh alayhi salam that, you know, that's it. The ones who have believed, these are the ones who would believe. The others won't believe. That's it. So there was no hope now. They reached a dead end. So Allah says to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and so establish or build the ark under my care and my support and my revelation. And do not argue with me, do not intercede for those who have disbelieved. Why is Allah saying this to Prophet Nuh alayhi salam? Because among his family members, his wife and his son did not believe. They were disbelievers and they were destroyed. So Allah told him, do not intercede. Do not try to intercede for people, you know, who rejected the truth and they've wronged themselves, because these people would drown. So Nuh alayhi salam was building the ark. Every time a group of his people pass by him, they make fun of him. They mock him. And he says to them, if you're mocking us, the day will come when we are just going to laugh at you. Punishment from Allah is going to come. Then one day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes all of the springs in earth to bring out, gush forth, bring all of their water. And Allah sends rain until the earth is flooded. And we have a very personal and emotional, you know, situation here where Nuh alayhi salam is on the ark with the believers and the animals, because everything else is going to drown. And his son sought refuge a little bit far. And so Nuh alayhi salam, he calls out to his son. He says, Ya bunayya kam ma'ana. He says, oh my son, come and join us. Join us. And that means believe as well. Join us and believe, you will be saved. But again, his son does not, up until that moment, did not realize that. He thought it was just rain. It was just a normal flood. But he didn't know, he didn't realize, obviously, because he didn't believe that it was a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he drowned. He was among those who died. And then Allah caused the earth to swallow all of the water. And then Nuh alayhi salam turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, oh Allah, my son, he's my son. Allah says to him, he's not from your household. He's not from your household. Again, because the reality of humans is their heart and their soul. That's our essence. That's who we are. So the true connection is connection through the soul, the spirit, the heart. And this is why the bond of faith is the strongest, because it comes from the soul. It is souls bonding and coming from the same place, actually, the same place of faith. Whereas blood relationships are physical, so they're actually secondary in that sense. And that's just, the Quran states this is a fact. It's not some kind of a hijacking of human reality. No, If somebody thinks, oh, it's blood relationships that are the relationships, no, that's an assumption. The reality, because the essence and the reality of humans is their souls. And this brotherhood and bond between souls is far more stronger than actually the physical one. So Allah says to him, he's not from your household. He chose disbelief. He chose falsehood. He rejected faith. He acted against his own human nature, against this, again, natural constitution. And yeah, so don't ask me about something which you are not supposed to. Then Nuh alayhi salam repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, oh Allah, I repent and I seek your protection from falling into something that angers you, something that violates your rights. And so that was the story of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Then Allah mentions the story of Prophet Hud alayhi salam, who was sent to Ad. And Ad were giants. They were real giants. They were very strong. And there's a beautiful thing about Hud alayhi salam, because when he advised them, again, they gave him the same response. They said, verse number 53, يَهُودُ مَا جِئْتَنَا بِبَيِّنَةٍ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَارِكِ آلِهَتِنَا عَنْ قَوْلِكِ وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Oh Hud, you didn't come to us with, you know, any clear sign. And we're not going to leave our gods, but just because of what you say, we're not going to believe in what you're preaching. What we think is that our gods have touched you with some kind of magic. So you're hallucinating in a sense. So he said to them, you know, I seek Allah's witness that I'm free from what you're doing. I'm free from what you are associating, the partners you associate with Allah. And then he says, فَكِيدُونِي جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ لَا تُنْظِرُونَ. You know, plot against me, do whatever you want against me, I don't fear. And that's actually very brave from a prophet like this. And they were extremely powerful people. And إِنِّي تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ رَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ. I put my trust in my Lord. And we've seen in Surah Al-A'raf, I believe, there was something similar from Prophet Hud. So he says, I put my trust in Allah. He's my Lord, your Lord. He's going to take care of you. He's in charge of everything. مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. There is no creature, no living thing, except that Allah has full control of it. إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. My Lord is upon a straight path. Meaning the way Allah runs this universe is not messy, is not moody. It is based on principles of justice and truth. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends punishment upon them. Then there is a reference to Thamud, who are the people of Prophet Salih alayhi salam. And similar response. So Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was receiving all these responses as well. So when he advised them, they said, يَا صَالِحُ قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. They said, this is verse number 62. Oh Salih, you know, we had hopes. We had high aspirations for you, expectations for you, that you were going to grow up to be a good man, a wise man, an important man among us. But now you're coming with all of this basically nonsense. You are telling us to worship, to stop worshiping what our gods worshipped. We are seriously in doubt. We are in serious doubt of what you are saying. But again, and Allah brought a sign, a very powerful sign with Prophet Yusuf Salih alayhi salam, and this was a she camel with baby camel. Right, and some scholars say that this camel actually came from the rocks. It was created from the rocks, so it's a very special camel that Allah let the rocks take the shape of a camel, and then Allah brought it to life. And there was something very special that every other day it would give them enough milk that was enough for the whole town. So it would drink. So on that day, it would drink the water from the well, and they would not need water. And it would give them the milk for that day. The following day, they were able to drink from the well. So they would take turns. So they would drink from the well every other day, and on that other day, where they were not allowed to drink from the well, they would drink the milk of the camel, the she camel. And they slaughtered it, they killed it. And then the punishment came upon them, they were destroyed. And Allah mentions the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, how angels came to him in the form of man, in the shape of men, and he slaughtered a veal for them. But they didn't eat, so he was a bit suspicious. He felt suspicious about them. And they said, "We are angels, we came to you because we were sent to destroy the people of Lut." We know Prophet Lut alayhi salam lived at the same time of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then they gave him the glad tidings. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was old at the time, very old. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they say he was beyond 100 years old. His wife was above 100 years old, is what some of the scholars of tafsir say. And they give him the glad tidings that you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. And who's this son? Obviously, and his wife heard that and she was stuck. She couldn't believe it. This was his wife, Sarah. So Allah gave them the glad, they gave him the glad tidings of Ishaq. And then son of Ishaq was Ya'qub. And Ya'qub, by the way, in the Arabic language, it comes from the same root as Aqib, which is progeny, and which means he's going to have a lot of children. And when Prophet Ya'qub is the father of Bani Israel, he is Israel. They are the children of Ya'qub. And then Prophet Ibrahim was concerned that among them was, you know, Prophet Lut alayhi salam. Are you going to destroy them? When Prophet Lut is among them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, you know, don't worry. Or the angel said to him, don't worry, because we are going to save Prophet Lut and the believers with him. The disbelievers will be destroyed. Okay, so I think it's actually worth stopping here, inshallah ta'ala. We just want to keep it to about half an hour, bi-idhnillah. And next week we will continue with the story of Prophet Lut alayhi salam. What happens? Then we have Prophet Shu'aib being sent to Madian, and then the conclusion of the surah, and we will see how it ties in nicely with the beginning of the surah and the whole flow in between. And again, the surah is here is some kind of reassurance and support for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That what he's facing was actually faced by prophets and messengers before, and that this should not, you know, cause him to experience that stress and great discomfort, and he should continue with his message. And the message here is patience. So this surah is very important for people who are in the field of dawah. It's about patience. So we're going to see how the surah will actually conclude as well, with patience. So we're going to see that next Friday, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So jazakumullah khairan for joining us. And again, in the light of the, you know, circumstances in the whole world now, numbers have been going up for some time. Now I think they're receding a little bit. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. What I would say, keep safe, look after yourself and your families and your loved ones, and be careful. We've seen a lot of, you know, people have been, subhanAllah, suffered from this virus. Some of them passed away. May Allah have mercy upon them. May Allah accept them as martyrs and shuhada. And we have a lot of people who, alhamdulillah, that Allah spared. But again, the illness was severe for them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them complete shifa and recovery. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them good health and protect the rest of us and help us come out of this pandemic stronger, healthier, and closer to him. So it's a reminder for us that life is short and one day everyone will leave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that day we leave this world the best of our days. Again, jazakumullah khairan, and see you next week, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.